Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Sunday afternoon in north central Arizona, I'm sitting next to the lovely, exquisite, classy Dee. Hi, Dee.
I was looking around to see who you were describing.
Hello, dear listener to Catholic Vitamins. We are so glad you're with us. If you are new to this program, you probably wonder what the heck we're all about. And sometimes we don't know
what we're all about.
But we do try to encourage the faith, nourish the faith from A to Z. We love being Catholic, and we have lots of good history sharing guests over the years.
Yes.
We really have been very blessed. And today we're going to have a continuation of an interview we started last week with Dick Jenkins, who's the general manager for Immaculate Heart Radio. What you may have heard if you were with us last episode was that Dick was born a Protestant. He loved Jesus, he loved the Bible, and he was a Protestant, and quite happy to remain so. Thank you very much. And he started the K-Love Protestant music ministry or stations, radio stations. And if I remember what he told us in last week's episode, they had upwards of 700 stations carrying the K-Love programming by the time he left. And I think he said it's up to 900 now. But part two of this interview will be coming to tell us how he became Catholic. That'll be interesting.
After you put the promo about the show, last week's show, on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, it wasn't but a few minutes, I think, not very long, when Marianne Delaney responded, "I love K-Love. I enjoy K-Love."
I know. There are a lot of people that do, and in the sense that, you know, we know our faith. There's nothing wrong with listening to K-Love, but you don't get any Catholic truth. You don't get any Catholic beauty. And some of the songs are not, how would you say this? They're not consistent with our faith practice. Whereas the Immaculate Heart Radio is full-time Catholic 24/7, and they have added two music streams that you can subscribe to on the internet. It sounds like a plug for Immaculate Heart Radio. And one is a traditional, if you like some of the more pious, tender, and traditional music, they have a channel for that. And then they have a popular Christian music service that you can subscribe to. It's free. And they have previewed all of the music to make sure that it's consistent with Catholic understanding and Catholic teaching. And they still have a lot of wonderful pop music stars from the Christian music and singing environment.
Well, I love plugging Immaculate Heart Radio, especially since we're using that for our Catholic radio station here in town.
Yeah, we are. Well, Dee, why don't we tell them about what show this is? And
well, this is part two of
the word that you have a mental block on. It's adidum. Adidum. Just pretend that your name Dee is in the middle of it. Adidum.
Adidum.
And
adidum.
And it means sort of the inner place inside, an inner sanctuary, if you will. And we kind of talked about that and explained it last week.
This is episode 312.
And this week on Catholic Vitamins, in addition to our regular fare, we are taking part in a U.S.-wide blogging tour. We're not blogging, we're podcasting, but we're taking part in a blogging tour for Abby Johnson's new book, The Walls Are Talking, Former Abortion Clinic Workers Tell Their Stories. Now, my marker is probably at the halfway point. I have read several of the stories up to the point where I am in the book. And I have just now opened to chapter 7, and I'll read you a few words from the beginning of this. When the term frequent flyer is most commonly associated with jet-setting executives, those of us who have worked in the abortion industry also use the expression when referring to our regulars. Isn't that terrible? Only instead of walking away with complimentary pretzels and an accumulation of sky miles, our customers walked away with a human life unnaturally ripped from their bodies and a lifetime of psychological and oftentimes physical repercussions. Well, each chapter is different. Each chapter is narrated in the first person, so it's not intended to divulge their identity, but from people who have worked in the abortion industry, some of the stories that they tell are terrible, and yet we need to hear these stories, we need to read these stories to know about the terror, the horror, the evil that is Planned Parenthood. So we'll say a few more words from the book a little later in the show. Abby Johnson, she's the former Planned Parenthood manager and a senior one at that, she was. She's left and she's very pro-life now. And she wrote, her first book was called Unplanned. And now The Walls Are Talking. And this is put out by Ignatius Press. Dear, do we have anything else we want to cover in the first part?
Oh, you mentioned purgatory again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we probably said on our last show that we're our Faith Travelers group had met to watch a two-part video. We made a two-part video about the teachings, the understanding of the church, and one priest's specific experiences with purgatory, the subject of purgatory. His name is Father Doug Lorig. He's down in Scottsdale, Arizona.
L-O-R-I-G, I think that's how it's spelled.
It is. And I've been to confession to him. I've been to his masses. I've been to their beautiful, beautiful Adoration Chapel. But Father Lorig has had maybe a 15-year experience of collecting the names of deceased people in a number of small handwritten journals. And he puts them on the altar when he's saying Mass. And each day he will pray for the names on a particular page, and then the next day move to the next page. And I think the souls in purgatory have, in a way, spoken with Father Lorig, and that's shared in this video that we watched.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to part two of that.
We should have, we don't have it with us. We're not prepared the way we should be. We should have the video title, and we should have a place that you can buy it. Because it's really worth watching and then discussing within your family or within a group or in a parish setting.
Maybe we can make a mental note to get all that for next time.
Yeah, let's write down a note and we'll do that. Well, I don't want to talk too long, but we have sort of bumped up against our normal first segment. And I have a marriage moment that I want to share. So let's take a short breather, and we'll be back, and we'll do Married for Life, and then Mariana Bartholomew.
Oh, what a day this has been. After 9 long months, my wait is at an end. And oh, what a face, what a silly little chin, and those dingle-dangle legs, stretching out and folding in. God has sent you to me, and I know what I must do. Give you what is good, show you what is beautiful, teach you what is true.
Okay, we're back, and normally we've had our Married for Life segment towards the end of our shows, but I have a special one. Someone gave me this, and I used it for a homily at church. The following is a story the late Archbishop Fulton Sheen told frequently to extol the virtue of sacrificial love.
Do you want me to read it?
Okay, go ahead. Sure.
Just at the turn of the century, there was a woman married in Paris, just a good, ordinary Catholic girl to an atheist doctor. Dr. Felix Lesueur. He attempted to break down the faith of his wife, and she reacted and began studying her faith. In 1905, she was taken ill and tossed on a bed of constant pain until August of 1914. When she was dying, she said to her husband, "Felix, when I am dead, you will become a Catholic and a Dominican priest."
Wow.
"Elizabeth, you know my sentiments. I've sworn hatred of God. I shall live in the hatred and I shall die in it." She repeated her words and passed away. She died in her husband's arms at the early age of 47. Rummaging through her papers, Felix found her will. She wrote, "In 1905, I ask Almighty God to send me sufficient sufferings to purchase your soul. On the day that I die, the price will have been greater, have been paid. Greater love than this no woman has than she who laid down her life for her husband." Dr. Lesueur, the atheist, dismissed her will as the fancies of a pious woman. He decided to write a book against Lourdes, and so he went down to Lourdes to write against Our Lady. However, as he looked up into the face of the statue of Mary, he received the great gift of faith. So total, so complete was it, that he never had to go through the process of juxtaposition and say, "How will I answer this or that difficulty?" He saw it. He saw it all at once. Then the reigning pontiff was Benedict the 14th. Is that? Yeah, 14th?
Go ahead.
Hearing of the conversion of Dr. Lesueur, Pope Benedict sent for him. Dr. Lesueur went in the company of Father John Vianney, orator of Notre Dame. Dr. Lesueur recounted his conversion and said that he wanted to become a Dominican priest. Holy Father said, "I forbid you. You must remain in the world and repair the harm which you have done." The Holy Father then talked to Father Vianney and then again to Dr. Lesueur and said, "I revoke my decision. Whatever Father Vianney tells you to do, you may do." In the year 1924, during Lent, I, Fulton J. Sheen, made my retreat in the Dominican monastery in Belgium. 4 times each day and 45 minutes in length, I made my retreat under the spiritual guidance of Father Felix Lesueur of the Order of Preachers, Catholic Dominican priest, who told me this story.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Sorry that that was sort of a long-winded story to share with you without sort of something to help it along, a lot of talking, but it's a beautiful story, and the story of marriage and what love between husband and wife can be like and should be like. Well, Mariana Bartholomew, our 7-time award-winning journalist, is with us. She's going to be talking about love and commitment. So maybe, Dee, we can go to her.
Okay. This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. People in love are like Mary, pondering things in their hearts. People in love seek times of solitude with their beloved. In a crowded room, they seek each other out, and when together, create their own special island of communication. We have a lifetime to forge that kind of love relationship with God. And just as lovers can sometimes do things considered foolish by the rest of the world, sometimes lovers of God are fools. They take their good jobs and at God's call lay them down to pursue another occupation. They take hard-earned money and throw it toward good charitable causes that do nothing to increase their own personal bankrolls. With top educations, they sometimes set forth for the remotest corners of the planet and pour forth all their talents, energy, and expertise to uplift the lives of the poor. God is so in love with his creatures that he allows us 2nd and 3rd and 10th and 70th chances to repent and return. He never leaves us orphan, giving us his own body, blood, soul, and divinity as food and drink. And he holds us tight, close to him, through the people around us. Those in our circle can be so imperfect in how they love us. We are so imperfect. But if we stop and consider carefully, we'll be able to count the ways each day that God's divinity shines through each person in our lives and through our actions and choices, too. There's an everyday loving that we're called to, whether we're in the heart of a family or living alone in a distant land, and called to treat even the stranger on the street as a child of God. And then there's a type of heroic loving that happens daily all over the world, where people give up careers, family, homelands, comfort, security, and even health to pursue vocations to serve God in religious life. If we ever get into a mundane pattern in our own vocations as siblings, spouses, or parents, we can remember our missionaries of the past, our great heritage of saints, such as St. Isaac Jogues, St. Monica, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, St. John Vianney. We can learn about our modern missionaries and saints, too. We can stir ourselves up to a deeper commitment to seek God in our lives, to really take time for Him, by remembering that the only way we can move from grace to grace, as Scripture calls us, is to follow that voice of God that we'll hear in our hearts as we fall more deeply in love with Him by the day. The baby howls in the night. The teen cries alone. The 20-something grieves a lost love. And parents put all thoughts of self aside to love. In distant lands, the refugee shivers. The leper is still outcast. Children called slum sleepers pick through garbage until someone says, "You are unique and beautiful. I love you because I love my God. I'll fall in love with you and your cause because I'll do anything to warm the heart of my suffering Jesus." The Sacred Heart of Jesus is inflamed and encircled with thorns. It's an ancient image that still calls to us today. When we lay our head on that heart of Christ and press in, sometimes the thorns will prick. Sometimes when our hearts inflame with love for a suffering people, it hurts us to the point of tears. But as our hearts expand and we work for another's good because we just can't help ourselves, because now we're friends of Jesus who will do anything for Him, then life becomes shining with new purpose and meaning. Sometimes all we can see is the grit of helping. It's tough to clean up the messes of life. It's tough to love our closest family members and neighbors and the suffering people of various cultures. But we have beautiful role models. Mother Teresa cradling the dying in her arms. The Blessed Mother praying in the upper room with Christ's earliest disciples, although some had turned their backs on Him just days prior. Right, left, center. Labels divide us in the church. Christ's Sacred Heart appeals to us to press in and to stay there, to fall in love. I've written and podcasted about Father Buzani from Africa, who eats mice for protein in his mission work, because in the distant lands he serves, they are a ready source of nutrition. He serves villages in Africa where lions often prowl and life ends too soon for too many. In India, my friend Father Varghese just killed another cobra on his compound. And after many hours of blessing his people's homes daily after Easter, 15 to 20 homes daily, he went to sleep at the hospital bedside of missionary Father Sridhar, who nearly died of jaundice a couple weeks ago. Father Sridhar kept returning to his mission assignment, although he had to draw his water from a stream. He suffered from malaria and typhoid over these past months, then asthma, malnutrition, low blood pressure, while serving remote peoples along India's Bay of Bengal. He nearly paid for loving his people with his life. With such models of sacrificial love, surely we can carve out some personal prayer time. If we're feeling a little old and weary, we can ask to have our youth renewed like the eagles, like it says in Psalm 103. True lovers are not lazy. So if we're feeling a little lazy in our faith, a little lackadaisical, we should get ourselves to Mass more frequently, visit the Adoration Chapel, play and sing some praise and worship tunes, dip into our Bibles, pick up our rosaries. We have many languages of love in our faith, and if we're busy loving, we'll be renewed and energized, no matter our own personal woes and worries. Bless the Lord, O my soul, says Psalm 103. And that's how we love our God. All my being, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. He fills your lifetime with good. Your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Well, thank you, dear Marianna. I think you have the same love of the Psalms as I do, and they certainly do refresh the soul. Thank you for being a longtime contributor for Catholic Vitamins, Marianna. We hope you stay with us. That music that we played between our first segment and the second segment was by Marie Bellette from her album Everything Changes, and the title of that song that we played was The Good, The True, and The Beautiful. And we've had Marie on the show, I think, twice, if I remember correctly, certainly once, and we enjoy her music. Thank you, Marie, for letting us play some of your music on Catholic Vitamins. All right, well, next up, after a short music interlude to get me set up engineering-wise, we will bring you part two of our interview with Dick Jenkins. Well, here we are on part two of our journey with Dick Jenkins, a general manager for Immaculate Heart Radio. Part one was his childhood, his youth, his leaving the Christian faith for a while and then rediscovering it, his years and years of work and consulting with a lot of radio technologies in Europe and in the United States. We talked about K-Love with him. Dick, welcome back to our show on Catholic Vitamins. And now I have to ask you, how did you get started with Immaculate Heart Radio?
Well, in that period of time, I was doing consulting for stations around the world and in Canada, and as I mentioned before, in France, in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, New Zealand, Australia. So with all that international travel, and it was pretty fatiguing and pretty intense, I began to look around for domestic clients, and my friend of about 15 years, Doug Sherman, called me, and we'd been friends in radio, and he'd been over to tour K-Love several times, and we developed a relationship. I tried to reach out and help him whenever I could. And Doug called me and said, Dick, would you consider consulting for Immaculate Heart Radio? We want to kind of improve the programming and direct mail and pledge drives and some of the things we do. Would you mind coming over here and we'll pay your hourly fee and come over for 3 hours a week and just meet with our management team and kind of coach him? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to, Doug. So that went from 3 hours a week to 1 day a week, to 2 days a week, to 3 days a week, and finally to 4 days a week, and then to full-time, and eventually I became the general manager here. But more interesting than that is my journey from Protestantism to the Catholic faith. And,
yes.
And that's the real kind of juxtaposition that happened in my life. That's the real dynamic event that happened. And it began with pretty much every night when the shop kind of closed down here at 5 o'clock, I'd be in the hallways talking about faith matters with various staff members. And we talked about a variety of subjects, and I just was intrigued sort of by the Catholic faith. But as I began to study, Doug kind of put the what I call the apologetics hit team on me. All of a sudden, I'm getting emails from Carl Keating at Catholic Answers and Tom Peterson from Catholics Come Home. All these people are sending me books and emailing me, and we're having discussions online and so on. It was really pretty funny. I didn't know that Doug had really, you know, these are people I had met at events, but I didn't know that Doug was really working hard to try to get me to become a Catholic. But when two things changed my life. One was when I read in John 6, that Jesus is teaching to the crowds that if you, in order to have eternal life, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it says in a few passages you get down further that, and thousands left the church that day. And it's like, wait a minute. If communion is just symbolic, why would all these people leave? And why? And their comment was, this is too hard. And then in that famous dialogue with the disciples and, you know, Jesus saying, I suppose you're going to leave me too. And then saying, you know, where would we go, Lord? But it's not just symbolic. And that's what, okay, if there is a spiritual dimension to these elements, who is practicing that? And the Catholic Church is. And that really started me thinking. And then the other point was in Protestant churches, the teaching on Peter, you know, you're the rock, I'm going to build a church on you, upon your efforts. And Protestants try to explain that away as being symbolic. And then a friend of mine here at the station gave me a series of books on the first 300 years of church history. And I started reading and I went, whoa, wait a minute. The early Christian believers are acting like a church, and Peter's the head. Well, got a problem here. Jesus either founded a church or he didn't found a church. And so those two facts alone, and a third fact was probably even greater, was Martin Luther and the Reformation. If we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, God kept sending prophets and holy men who would speak for God by the Spirit, Holy Spirit inspiring them. And this was happening on a regular basis, every 20 to 100 years. And if you accept the Protestant Reformation, that Christ wasn't properly revealed until Martin Luther came along, then you have to accept that the Holy Spirit was silent for 1,000 years, over 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't make any sense to me. That isn't how God works. And so it just wasn't logical. And then when I read more about that and studied more, I began to say, no. God formed the church. It's still alive today. It's the Catholic Church. So at that point, I began to think, you know what? I need to become a Catholic, so I'm going to enroll in RCIA. As I began to study more about the Catholic Church and enrolled in RCIA classes, my entire family, all the family members, all my kids, came over, sat in my living room, and they tried to have an intervention like you would have somebody who has a problem with drugs or something. And we discussed Christ and the Catholic Church and the Bible, and of course, I know the Bible very, very well, and you know, I remember my youngest daughter saying to me, but Dad, we grew up going to church where you were the pastor sometimes and you were preaching from the pulpit. What's going on here? So I just explained with the Bible and with logic, using the Bible verses, why I believe the Catholic Church was the true church. Mm. And then after that, of course, in the spring, I came into the church. But the miraculous thing is, after I came into the church, my son and daughter-in-law enrolled in RCIA, and they came into the church. And my wife has not yet come into the church, but she goes to Mass with me on weekends, and I'm grateful for her support. And I think eventually she's going to get to the point where she sees that the Catholic Church is the true church.
That's beautiful, and at the heart of one of the reasons that I made outreach to you. I even sort of hate to leave this area, but my handshake with you in the beginning of my work with you, Dick Jenkins, was when another board member, Jim Bridges, and I flew to Sacramento and drove to Loomis, where we met you, and we began our relationship of your getting your help to build a Catholic radio station in our North Central Arizona community. We're on the air now, and we just couldn't be more pleased, more honored, and more joyous than sharing the programming from Immaculate Heart Radio Network to our listeners. We still are growing. Can you say a few words about some of what you're doing at Immaculate Heart Radio and about how people can support you?
Yes, of course. We're a 100% listener-supported station, so we're always very grateful for donations to support our work. And I would say we're always grateful when people make donations to your work, too, because the community hasn't had a really good signal and been able to listen. I suppose I could listen online, but I'm really glad that you're there and you're with us and you're doing some great things. But at Immaculate Heart Radio, about a year and a half ago, we began changing our programming and going with local hosts. One of the first shows we had is the Patrick Madrid Show, of course, author of 25 books. And, you know, if you go to YouTube and see some of his great debates he's had with Protestant pastors and so on, I mean, this, Patrick knows the faith backwards and forwards. And we started trying to target the format in compliance with what the new evangelization is all about, which is reaching out to people who are not in the church or have drifted away. And so as we have done that, over the past year and a half, the listeners to Immaculate Heart Radio have doubled, and the response has just been really gratifying. I can't tell you how excited I get when I hear some of these phone calls. I remember one in particular. I was trying to coach Patrick to be more gracious when people attack him, you know, when somebody calls from another faith and they, you know, start attacking him. And I knew Patrick got the message after I'd been coaching him for about, less than a year. When I heard a caller, and here's how the call went. "Hi, Patrick, this is Dell from New Jersey. The Pope is the Antichrist, and all Catholics are going to hell." Mm-hmm. And Patrick let 5 seconds of silence go and then said, "Which question would you like me to answer first?" And I went, "Okay, Patrick, you've got it." And the 45 minutes of radio that followed, this guy knew his Bible. He'd throw Bible verses, and Patrick would say, "Oh, but what does it say here?" And, you know, it was amazing radio. And that's the essence of what really kind of floats my boat and gets me excited, is every time I hear somebody call and say, "Well, I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, but I can't stop listening." Mm-hmm. And they're on a journey, and we're going to bring them along. And, you know, just reading the emails on a daily basis here, we're just humbled by what God is doing through these really great Catholic apologists, really. I mean, some of them have done other jobs and so on, but a great collection of people, so deep in the faith and so inspiring. And it's made such a change in Immaculate Heart Radio's listening audience. Also, previously, with our previous format, we were, I'm sorry. Here's an edit you'll need to do. I turned my phone off. Sorry. Previously, with our format, most of our audience was 55 years and older. And since we changed the programming, our audience is now primarily 35 to 55 year olds. And we're picking up lots of kids because moms in that age group control the radio dial. When they're driving somewhere, going to the grocery store, it's mom who selects the station. So we're reaching a whole different generation of young families. And, of course, we believe that families are under attack right now in our culture. And we're so blessed to be able to speak to young families about the importance of marriage, about the importance of pro-life, about raising your kids, all that kind of thing. So that's the new direction for Immaculate Heart Radio, and it's had amazing, amazing results.
Well, I when I can, I'm listening to Cy Kellett, and I'm listening to Mother Miriam, and I'm listening to Terry and Jesse. What a great lineup you have built there, and yeah, we get a lot of feedback here in the community, and we enjoy hearing the calls from people all over the country and sometimes all over the world who want to participate in your show. I did mention Catholic Answers, which you have on the afternoons.
So, yep. David, Catholic Answers has been with us since 1997, and in fact, some of our hosts that work here, either full-time or part-time, Patrick Madrid used to be an apologist for him. Jerry Usher used to be a host on Catholic Answers. So we're really excited about that. And just to tell you, in the last 60 days, this would be, well, not April, but in March, listeners from 166 countries around the world tuned in to Immaculate Heart Radio, to our online streaming. And that is very, very encouraging.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it probably is fairly obvious to our listeners who are media savvy, but go ahead and give the web connectivity information and how people can donate.
Oh, yeah. It's real simple. You can go to our website at ihradio.com, the IH for Immaculate Heart, ihradio.com. And it explains how you can become a listener supporter. And we would encourage you to do that if you're blessed by the programming and you feel you're growing in your faith. We'd like some financial support because that's what makes it all happen. We are 100% listener supported.
And Dick, before we say goodbye, would you also say a word about the music streaming that you're doing?
Oh, yes. We started two music channels, and the response to the music channels is just off the chart because there really isn't a Catholic contemporary Christian music station, and we have one. And then we have a sacred music channel, more reflective, something you could turn on and just leave it, in the background as you work around the house or the office. And both of those channels are getting wonderful response, and hopefully someday we'll, as Immaculate Heart Radio is able to grow some more, that maybe we'll start buying some FM stations to put these music formats on the air, because as you may or may not know, young people, millennials and lower today, don't really listen that much to AM. They prefer FM. And so our music format, I believe, on FM would be very, very popular, and the streaming results already show that.
Amen. Well, we've been very blessed to have two different show parts with Dick Jenkins, the general manager of Immaculate Heart Radio, but it's been a joy to listen to his journey from being a Protestant pastor and maybe a founder, if you will, or an early participant in K-Love Radio, and now helping to bring that same excitement to Immaculate Heart Radio and hearing about his conversion, his faith conversion. Dick Jenkins, what a joy it's been to have you on our Catholic Vitamins podcast, and we thank you for all you're doing for the faith.
Well, I'd like to say one closing thing. The work that's going on here is the result of a great team. And I've often told people Doug Sherman is probably, the president and founder is one of the best bosses I've ever worked for. It's a great team here. It isn't just, Dick arrived and imparted all his wisdom. No, it's a team effort here, and they're doing a great job.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your part in coming on Catholic Vitamins. Well, Dick Jenkins was a great guest for us to achieve, D. He was very willing to do this, but he's also very busy, and he's got a very fast-growing, I'll use the word, empire of Catholic truth that he's helping to build. And so thanks for the journey story, Dick Jenkins.
Hey, by the way, I took a walk this morning. I walked right up by the tower where our Catholic radio station transmitter and tower and antenna is.
Yeah, right. It's up on top of the town water tower. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a whole bunch of things up there, so I wasn't sure which one's ours.
I could show you, yeah. Well, dear, I'm getting some work done to plan for my summer. I don't know how I'm going to get away from Catholic radio, but I need to do it to recharge. And one of the things that I'm wanting to recharge my soul with is the priest, deacon, seminary, and retreat and conference at Franciscan University. We talked about the word adidum on the last show, meaning the sort of inner sanctuary where you meet the Lord God and his voice. And more often than not, I am deeply touched and refreshed by going to the priest-deacon retreat and conference, and I'm hoping to do that for a whole week back at Steubenville.
You know, I know how much you love Franciscan University and how much you talk about that place. So anytime I'm reading things, if the words Franciscan University are there, it would just like jump off the page at me. And guess what I just saw?
What?
Just yesterday.
What?
On Facebook, Lisa Maladnik was making a post, and she said, "I'm in Steubenville, Ohio, positively glowing after a full day yesterday of seeing the Franciscan University campus and talking with administrators." She's there with her daughter.
Oh, wow.
She says, and then later she said, "Out of all the schools we're considering, hands down, Franciscan would be my choice."
Oh, my.
"Now we'll see where God is leading my daughter to go."
Well, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And had I known that you had that, I would have gone to my bookshelf and brought the book over that Father Michael Scanlon wrote. I think it was something like The Fire Inside or The Fire Down Below or something, but it's the story
of his turnaround of the university.
Yeah, he never expected it. He was asked by the Franciscan Order to take over Franciscan University, and he
basically changed directions.
Yeah, he really did. It was a party school and really fading and probably headed towards maybe even bankruptcy. And what a difference he has made. It's now anointed and holy ground.
While we're talking about universities.
Yes.
I want to say congratulations to Cindy Ellis up in Washington State. She graduated Western Governors University in Washington State.
Good for her.
It's a nonprofit online university, but she got her bachelor's degree.
Good for
her. This is a later in life degree for somebody, and she's been working hard for this.
Amen. We've heard from her. Yeah, we've heard from her over the years, so yes. I'm so glad that that has happened. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do a few wrap-up things, one of which is to announce our book giveaway on this show.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Jesus built his church on Peter. He was first pope and leader. The gates of hell would not defeat her. That's good enough for me. Enough for Paul and Silas. When the jailer asks how to revive us, for forgiveness, please baptize us. That's good enough for me. Good enough for Justin Martyr. When he described the Mass's order, told about the sacrifice of the altar. That's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me.
Well, dear, while we were on break earlier, I looked up the Purgatory DVD and got the information.
Oh, good.
Anybody who's interested in that could go online to purgatoryforgottenchurch.com, and you can actually order the DVD through that website.
Did you see what the price was? Not that it's a big deal.
I wasn't sure I understood this. So there was one CD set, which was like 1995, I think, and then there was a DVD set.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like $38.95 or something like that for the two.
All right. Well, at any rate, make sure you look for the one that has the story of Father Doug Lorig and some other priests who talk about purgatory and the teachings of the church.
It was put together by Lightbridge Films. It's 85 minutes long.
That sounds like about what we are doing, right?
We're dividing it up into two parts with our group,
Do you have anything else we need to do in any other segments? Because I want to talk once more about the book that we're promoting on this show. Abby Johnson's new book, The Walls Are Talking, Former Abortion Clinic Workers Tell Their Stories. And this book narrates the harrowing and life-changing experiences of former abortion workers. And you may know from her first book or any interviews you've heard with Abby Johnson that she once directed a very large Planned Parenthood abortion services clinic. And so she knows what she's talking about. The book is available on Ignatius Press. There's a special web price for it, like a discount of a couple bucks. It's priced at $15.26. And someone described this as a difficult but a necessary read. And if you are oriented to letting every woman do what she wants with her body, this is something you need to read, because you're going to find out there's a lot of manipulation that goes on inside a Planned Parenthood. And maybe manipulation is the wrong word. Maybe lying is a better word. I took a few moments to scan just a few places on the internet, and I found that Pete Socks, who does the Catholic Book Blogger on Facebook, he's promoting the book, and he's giving away a copy, and others are as well. So that brings us to this point. Tom and Dee have a courtesy copy from Ignatius Press for The Walls Are Talking. And we would be happy for now and for, 3 weeks, Dee? To promote this book, a giveaway book. We'll mention it on each of the following shows. And we just invite you, please, dear listeners, to become more pro-life than you may already be. Read the book, The Walls Are Talking. If you want to enter our giveaway here on Catholic Vitamins, send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And on the subject line, just put, The Walls Are Talking. The Walls Are Talking.
Or Abby Johnson.
Yeah, and we'll know what you want. And then Dee will start one of her famous, not an ordinary basket, but one of her famous baskets. And we'll draw names for that in 3 weeks or so when we have had enough entries, and we look forward to sharing this with one of our dear listeners. Well, dear, I think we're towards the end of the show.
We're getting close. I'm going to do Vitus Gravel for next time. But before I do that, I'm just going to read a little short note we got from our friends Mary Lou and Chuck up in Colorado. And they said, just a note to thank you for the latest podcast, Y and Z. I'm so glad for the Marriage for Life edition. The sacrament of marriage seems to invite discussion and sharing. We need to be reminded and encouraged through opening up our lives about the love and challenges of this sacrament, especially in these times.
With the great attack on marriage and with the sort of mentality of people who, if they're not happy for a week or a month or 2 months, they decide that they're going to, you know, get rid of their partner and move on. It's just really necessary that we promote sacramental marriage, holy marriage, lasting marriage, and that's what Tom and Dee will do. And I just want to once again tell you this, if you've been with us a long time, you've heard me say this, that more than one person that we've been involved with has said they'd like to have a marriage like ours. But dear friends, I can assure you our marriage is like everybody else's. It's fraught with...
It is not flawless.
Why did she want to jump in so quickly? We've had our struggles. We have our struggles. And I pray most every night that God blesses our marriage and helps us. And that's what we need, is the Lord God in our marriage for sure. Dear, do you think that's it?
Close.
All right.
Vita Scrabble for next time.
Vita Scrabble for next time.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Catholic vitamin B, as in boy.
Uh-huh.
Starts with B, ends in G, 8 letters.
We have a fun, upbeat, and a lovely guest to bring you for that show, God willing. We will be back in a week. with Catholic vitamin B. And if you can take a guess at what that B word is, how many letters did you say?
8.
And it ends in what?
G.
If you can take a guess at what that vitamin is, you can also send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or send Dee a Words with Friends guess message.
Yeah, any way you want to send it, as long as it gets to me. How about if we put this purgatory information in the show notes, too,
right,
on our website.
Okay.
On catholicvitamins.com.
And the Abby Johnson book information.
Right. Yep. Right. And did you mention this already?
I did, yes. Okay. Thank you very much. And one other thing, go to our Facebook page for our Catholic radio station. Plug KPIH. No, that's a note. This says plug KPIH. Yes, on Facebook. We are found there, and you'll just find our letters, KPIH. You can find it on Facebook. And like that, we're trying to grow our visibility of our Facebook page and our website, which is kpihradio.com. Anything else?
I think we've covered it all.
Dear friends, dear listeners, dear people in foreign lands and in the U.S., we thank you for being a friend of Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Jesus built his church on Peter. He was first pope and leader. The gates of hell would not defeat her. That's good enough for me. Enough for Paul and Silas. When the jailer asks how to revive us, for forgiveness, please baptize us. That's good enough for me. Good enough for Justin Martyr. When he described the Mass's order, told about the sacrifice of the altar. That's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Good enough for Saint Ignatius. In the Catholic Church he said you find Jesus. In the second century he preached this. That's good enough for me. Even before they had the Bible, there was a Holy Ghost revival. The martyrs died for its survival. That's good enough for me. It was good for St. Augustine. In the church he was a-trustin'. Those Pelagians he was bustin'. That's good enough for me. Jesus said he'd never leave us, and with his flesh he said he'd feed us. Yet some still don't believe this. That's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that Catholic tradition. It was good enough for the early church, so it's good enough for me. It was good enough for the early church, so it's good enough for me.